Welcome to the SDA Housing Podcast, brought to you by NDIS Property Australia. Before starting this episode, we need to provide a general disclaimer. Information contained in this podcast is general in nature only. It does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. You need to consider your financial situation and needs before making any decisions based on the information in this podcast. And you should consider seeking independent and professional advice for your personal circumstances. All right, let's begin.
Hello, everybody. My name is Debbie. I'm your host from NDIS Property Australia, and you're listening to the SDA Housing Podcast, a show that explains, highlights, guides, and brings awareness about all things SDA in this ever-changing NDIS world. Today, I'm joined by Lenore from the office. Hi, Lenore. And today, we're going to be talking about changes in the quarterly NDIS SDA data, the supply and demand data that they publish every 3 months. So, Lenore, do you want to tell us what has changed this month?
Well, there are a couple of changes. One is that the data is split up in a different way. This is the demand data that is split up in a different way. It used to be split into participants in SDA or having funding, and in SDA seeking alternative, and not in SDA but seeking accommodation. Now it is split into participants with SDA, SDA in use, and participants with funding, but funding not in use. And then there are also additional participants which are eligible for SDA, but the funding hasn't come through yet. So what do you think the implications are for?
Yeah, okay. So I think this is really quite significant, Lenore. Previously, when you looked at these spreadsheets, the headings, they were referring to the data capture as from the legacy CRM. Obviously, the database of participant information that was being funded out. And when you look at the notes, it actually says that the total number of participants being split into those in a dwelling and having funding and those seeking, etc., as business processes relating to home and living decisions have migrated to the new ICT system, the data capture required for these splits is no longer consistently maintained. Work is underway to provide splits that better reflect if participants are utilizing SDA supports or are utilizing SDA supports but seeking alternatives or having funding but aren't utilizing that funding. So basically, it's saying that the information they were quoting was not necessarily correct. It hadn't been consistently maintained. That was last provided in the September 23 data that came out mid-December. So when we got this data in mid-Feb, which was based on data as at the 31st of December 23, we did see this big change. So it's now telling us overall there has been a slight drop in the number of participants overall who have got funding for SDA or are eligible, and I'll go into that in a minute, but it's splitting the participants basically in two, essentially, those who are living in SDA and those who are not.
That's right. And you think that the data is a lot more accurate now than it was before?
Yeah, I think I do. Okay, it's not telling us how many participants are seeking, but I guess based on what their notes were, that information was based on old data that wasn't consistently maintained, as they say. The new data, the notes they've got at the bottom of the spreadsheet is the total number of participants with SDA funding is currently split into participants with SDA funding, SDA in use, as you've already mentioned, and participants with SDA funding, SDA not in use. Evidence of SDA funding in use is estimated based on SDA payments, SDA service bookings, and address matching to an enrolled SDA dwelling. Future enhancements in the PACE system, this is the NDIS payment system, will allow for better tracking and an ability to better understand why participants may not be using SDA funding. The number of additional participants eligible for funding, and this is only a very small number, I'm looking roughly maybe about 3-5% of the total number, they are participants who have been found eligible for SDA through the home and living application process who don't yet have funding for SDA in their plan. So basically they're going through the application process, it's not yet been implemented. So this gives us a totally different picture, whereas before, I'm going to look at the first line in the file, the Australian Capital Territory, the ACT. In September, we had 348 participants with funding or an SDA need. Now we only have 342, so the number has dropped. However, previously when they stated that there were 338 participants with SDA funding and 10 additional participants eligible, they listed 59 participants in a dwelling seeking alternative. Now, we know that's not correct because what the new data is telling us is that instead of 279 participants in a dwelling, there are now 214 participants in a dwelling and 119 with SDA funding not in a dwelling.
So that is quite a change to the data, and some of this is probably due to time passing on, this being 3 months later. Part is also due to the different assessment of who is eligible, who is receiving SDA, who is in SDA, and so on.
Yeah, totally. So it's really clarifying the participants who are living in an SDA and those who are not.
Yes. Yes. And that is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But there has been another change to the data, which is it is no longer split up into the different categories of people seeking.
That is very true. This is, in my mind, a bit of a negative, because previously we would know that there were, again, back to the ACT example, it said there were 59 plus 10, 69 participants seeking an SDA. And it would tell us, out of those 69 participants, what level of SDA property they were seeking, whether it was improved livability, HPS, FA, or robust. We no longer have this information. So all I can assume from the omission of that is that perhaps they realised that that data was quite incorrect. And now that they are just pulling out the information of participants that are not in SDA, they don't really have a handle on what participants are seeking. So this, whilst we have more information or more clarity on how many participants might be out there that do need an SDA home, we don't have any clarity or any better clarity on what they're actually looking for. And I guess maybe that is because the NDIS are still working on their processes to get better clarity on that information. I don't know where they'd get it. I assumed previously that information was coming from searches on the NDIS SDA Finder portal, or I really don't know where it came from. It's not there anymore, so I'm guessing that it was incorrect data.
I assumed that this data came from the application process for SDA, that people applied for SCA, and then because it's so depending on the level of support they need and the kind of support they need, that then that would be split into the.
Yes, you're probably right, yeah. Lenore. That was obviously they do know what people are applying for and what they're funding them for. So potentially, yes, they know there are so many people, or they thought they knew there were so many people seeking, and they maybe just split it up into the different assumptions of the funding, but I don't know, you know, we don't know.
They might bring it back. Do you think they might? Because there have been a couple of changes over the last 6 months or so, the last couple of reports we had. Numbers have been taken out because they have been phased out. So they might improve their service, not their services, their
the data capture.
Data capture.
Yeah, yeah. Look, yeah, I hope so. I know that in the both the SDA price review as well as the NDIS review. It was all about improving the data so that there was more transparency and more clarity around the gaps, you know, between the supply and demand of SDA. But so, yeah, in general, these two changes, one being the omission of the category participants are seeking and the change in the number of participants listed as living in SDA and those not, is overall a positive, but I think it is a shame that we've lost that information. Yeah, so look, there was no other changes to the reports, I don't think, were there, Lenore?
No, not that I can think of, well, except for the, as mentioned, the in-kind
terms of the supply, nothing has changed in the reporting methods. So it's really just about the demand.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, and I wait for every quarterly report that comes out to find out if we're going to get more in-depth data on the pipeline, because that is something.
Yeah. And it would also be nice to have the new build data resolved at the
SA3
level.
Yeah. So for those of you who are not really sure what we're talking about there, SA3, et cetera, the data in this big report, this spreadsheet that runs over 18 different tabs with so many numbers, it's broken into two sort of categories, if you like. One based on data at the SA4 level, the statistical area 4, that's the ABS regions in Australia. And some of that information is then also broken down into the SA3 region, which are smaller regions with less population. So obviously having it broken down into a more specific region is going to give us better clarity. When we're looking at an SA4 region, I always use the example of the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast, as most of you will know, is quite a large area spreading over, I'm not quite sure how far it is from the bottom end at the New South Wales border up to the tip, but probably talking 40 kilometres maybe, a lot of different suburbs and areas within the Gold Coast, vastly different demographics from one end to the other. It's just one SA4 and it is divided up into about 8 different SA3s. So if we were able to get all that in-depth data at the SA3 level, we'd have a much better idea of what's going on in terms of particularly the supply, the new build dwellings and the pipeline dwellings, but we don't have that. We only have that at the SA4 level. So we just know what's going on in the Gold Coast as a whole, which is really not particularly useful, which is why we need to take a lot of this data with a bit of a pinch of salt and really heavily rely on other data in addition when we're looking at the overall information that we're either providing to people who are coming to us for data reports or just when we're doing our own due diligence in locations and areas.
But having said that, I think it's also valid to look at the bigger picture, as in SA4, because I would think that some people move between SA3s within the SA4 or even between SA4s. So for instance, at the moment, I'm preparing a report on a suburb that is in an SA4, in a very big SA4, but it's also very close to a smaller SA4. And I analyze data for both of these regions to get a really good picture because, you know, sometimes it's a difference of a couple of kilometers.
Very true. If it's right on the border, you've got to look at both areas.
Yeah. And sometimes the demographics between the SA3s in two different SA4s are much more similar than...
Yeah, that's very true. So, the LGAs, the local government areas, come into play here, but we can get some information at that level, but we're not getting the SDA data at that level. So, yeah, I guess we are constantly monitoring and seeing what's going on with all the different data sources that we use and try to keep on top of it as much as possible. But we've got to be aware that none of this data is, 100%
accurate, but it's a very good indication and we have our ways of working around some of the problems.
And verifying.
Yeah, that's right. And we've been doing this for a while now, so we
so we hope to be getting better at it. I think that sums up what we wanted to talk about on this episode today. If you are interested in having a look yourself at this fantastic spreadsheet, if you like to look into the data, it is available on the NDIS website. We will put a link to the page where you need to go to download it, so anyone can access it through there. As I said, it's updated every 3 months. Unfortunately, the data takes about 6 weeks to actually be collated by the NDIA and issued, put online. 6 weeks, a little bit too late for my liking, but at least we're getting it. It's better than nothing. So we can only hope that they will continue to improve and make changes and make the data more comprehensive and transparent so that
we are very grateful for what we get.
But, you know, it still doesn't always help us in really determining where homes are needed, where SDA needs to be built. So NDIA, NDIS, if you're listening, yeah, get on it. All right. Well, thank you very much, Lenore, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you are subscribed and following us so you can keep in the loop with all of our upcoming episodes. We would really appreciate it if you could leave us a 5-star rating, a written review, and to share this podcast with those that could benefit. Until next time, catch you on the next episode.